What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Movie Schmovie Podcast.
What's going on?
Steve here, and my buddy Ronald over to my right.
Hello.
Hello. That sexy voice. I just want to thank everyone that has been, been visiting our actual website. We've been getting a lot more action on our website.
MovieSchmovie.net.
Yeah, we've been actually trying to be more active ourselves on it, posting more movie news than we had been before. And we've actually seen more people following it, so.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that.
Thanks for the love. So if you guys want to contact us, movieschmovie@gmail.com, twitter.com/movieschmovie, lots of places where you can reach us. And we've actually been added to Google Plus, so we're going to post a link on a blog pretty soon so you guys can start following us on there. Tell more people about it.
So we actually got an invite?
We got an invite.
We got an invite. Man, we've made it. Invites for Google Plus.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, but just want to big ups to everybody for helping us out. Like, it really means a lot. Just see people, like, reblogging stuff that we post. I mean, I know that we're a speck on the blog map, but, I mean, it's cool just to have people looking at what we're posting and actually writing back to us on the actual official site. Like Ronald said, that we are... not only on Google Plus, but we also have a Facebook page. If you're on Facebook all the time, you can check out facebook.com/movieschmovie. We try to put a lot of our posts that we throw up on movieschmovie.net right on the Facebook, so you can go to one or the other and stay in touch with us. But moving on to today's podcast, we're going to start out with the Mighty Minute review this week. And this week's Mighty Minute review was submitted by Pedro.
Pedro.
Our buddy Pedro. I'm not sure where you're from, but... We like the suggestion that you threw to us this week. So, what are we doing this week, Ron?
We're doing Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids,
which stars Ed Helms, John C. Reilly, Anne Heche, and Isaiah Whitlock Jr.
Whitlock,
who comes from The Wire fame.
I played
a politician on that show. So, Cedar Rapids. So it stars Ed Helms, and he's a guy named Tim Lip. He has no idea what he's in for when he's sent to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to represent his company at an annual insurance convention, where he soon finds himself under the guidance of three convention veterans.
Thank you, IMDb, for that synopsis.
Thank you, IMDb.
So, basically, I went into Cedar Rapids a few months ago with no expectations. I like most of the people that are involved in the film. Ed Helms, actually, is probably one of my favorite members of The Office on TV.
Yeah, he's really, really fun.
I think he's probably my favorite part also of The Hangover and its sequel, even though, we weren't too keen on the sequel.
Yeah.
But, good stuff all around, actually, and I was really surprised by the film. I thought it was a really good time. I laughed quite a bit. It's kind of like a darker comedy. There are some moments where it gets kind of serious. Yeah, I guess serious in tone, but not really serious in effect, but... I think it just came out recently on DVD even, so I definitely give Cedar Rapids... the seal of approval if you want to check it out if you like comedy.
Absolutely. I thought it was amazing.
Amazing.
That was really cool because it was like, I'm really a fan of like dry sort of humor.
Sure.
And I think that it's ridiculous that, it was like an insurance convention.
Yeah.
It's a dry sort of setting. And from there, a lot of really funny things, kind of more realistic things happen to this guy rather than kind of over the top things, which makes it kind of funny. I thought it was really good. It didn't get a lot of distribution when it first came out. It was a lot of indie movie theaters, things like that. So I wanted to see it, didn't really get a chance to see it until it landed on DVD, but I recommend it.
Yeah, so check it out. Cedar Rapids on DVD now. Moving into our featured review for this week. We are going to be talking about the new Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis romantic comedy called Friends with Benefits.
Friends with Benefits.
I miss sex.
Why does it always got to come with complications?
It's women's fault.
Let's spend the rest of our lives together.
You are no better.
Say my name.
I'm done.
Who have you been with?
Some friendships.
No emotion, just sex.
Swear.
I love it.
Catch you by surprise.
Oh, Mom! It's like the 70s in here.
From the director of Easy A.
Why do women think the only way to get a man to do what they want is to manipulate him?
History, personal experience, romantic comedies.
Friends with Benefits.
All right, so Friends with Benefits opens in theaters nationwide, actually today, I think.
Yeah, today.
So we're on top of this one like we were for Super 8. We got fortunate enough to see an advanced screening of it, and we've been, kind of waiting to talk about it. I know, Ronald, you've been really excited to be able to talk about comparing this movie...
Yes, absolutely.
...to something that came out about a year ago that you might think is the exact same movie.
Absolutely.
Tell us about it.
Actually, less than a year ago.
Less than a year ago.
No strings attached. starring Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher, came out January 21st, 2011.
Okay. So very, very recent.
Yeah, very, very recent. It's one of those movies that was presented as two friends getting together that decide to have sex with no strings attached.
Look at that. What a title.
Right? All right, so I have a comparison sheet of the two movies, so you kind of get an idea.
Okay.
I have to let you know that although these things are compared to each other during this, it's actually two very different movies for a lot of reasons, and I guess we'll get into that.
Yeah.
So the supporting cast on No Strings Attached was Ludacris, Lake Bell, Greta Gerwig, and then Friends with Benefits is like Emma Stone, Woody Harrelson, Andy Samberg. The leading ladies in the movies, Natalie Portman plays Emma in No Strings Attached, and she plays a doctor who's too busy to have a romantic relationship. And Friends with Benefits, Mila Kunis plays a young professional recruiter for a large corporation that's kind of headhunting, trying to recruit Ashton Kutcher, Justin Timberlake's character. The leading man, Ashton Kutcher, plays Adam, a single guy who has feelings for his sex buddy Emma. In Friends with Benefits, Justin Timberlake plays Dylan, who falls for his friend Jamie after he starts sleeping with her. Now, the tone of these two movies, very different. No Strings Attached is a more comedic take on the whole Friends with Benefits thing. And Friends with Benefits is a lot more raunchy. To be very clear, and a little more adult. And I think it delves into relationships and of this nature a lot more deeply than No Strings Attached did. So,
yeah, and a bigger difference is that No Strings Attached was a piece of shit.
Yo,
and this movie...
See, I didn't want to say that at first, but it was...
No, I'm going to throw it out there. I'm sorry.
It was terrible.
Now that you've laid out the little tidbits that we can compare the two on, there are a lot of similarities. Like, you have these supporting casts that, like, pop up, and they're, like, the funny things here and there. And they're very extreme characters, you know?
Yeah.
But then you have, like, you know, the female lead who's so busy with life that she's so emotionally unavailable and has trouble with commitment and is so dedicated to her job. And then the male lead who... I guess those roles in the two films are a little different because, like, Justin Timberlake's, you know, kind of very successful, like, being... kind of courted almost by Mila Kunis for the professional aspect, like trying to get him to come to New York for a job. But with Ashton Kutcher, I don't even remember, but I feel like he was like a struggling screenwriter working as a PA on like a television show or something, like High School Musical ripoff kind of thing.
He was doing something.
Yeah, something in that movie. I'm pretty sure he did something in that movie, but I'm not sure what it was.
He was very forgettable.
Very forgettable, just like that film. Yeah. But like what Ronald said was that the tone is a really big the differing factor that I think is most important to point out is because, I mean, just to put it lightly, I mean, it's very much more raunchy is a good word. I like how Friends with Benefits just kind of went for it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that a lot of when you kind of get into the theater and you're watching this movie, you don't see a lot of it in the trailer, which I kind of like, you know, mainly it's because you can't really air it on TV.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I like how they have that in their back pocket with some of the scenes in this film where you are seeing some actors do things that maybe you would think put them a little bit outside of their comfort zone, but
yeah, definitely.
But they take it with ease, and I mean they do it really well,
and it comes across very well on the screen. I think one thing that I've never really touched on before prior to this is that it's really hard to do a simple movie. I know that sounds really crazy, but things that kind of follow cliches like this are a little harder to reinvent. You can have a movie like Inception, and even if it sucked, right? The complexity of it would drive people to say, oh, it was good.
Yeah.
Because this happened and this happened and this means this and it's symbolic of this. Simpler films are harder to make because it's just kind of in your face, cursory, like on the surface sort of glance at relationships. And I think it does a really good job of showing the effects of kind of having a Friends with Benefits sort of situation. So...
yeah, I mean, it is a challenge in a way to also just to kind of make it more interesting, too. You know, you know, you have people in your life that you know maybe have been in a Friends with Benefit kind of situation before, or maybe you yourself have been.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's also like you have these other extraneous things going on throughout the movie to kind of keep it interesting. And the ones that were taking place in No Strings Attached were kind of... not, you know, you just didn't care at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there were some that were taking place in Friends with Benefits that you did kind of actually... latch on to, and it did keep you interested, not just in the whole Friends with Benefits thing going on between Mila Kunis and Timberlake, but also interesting things like having to do with, you know, Mia Kunis and her mom and Justin Timberlake and his dad and, you know, his sister and his nephew and all this stuff with his family back on the West Coast. And they're just things like you don't just dismiss. I mean, like, some of those scenes in the movie are actually some of the better scenes in the film.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're the things that are happening on a secondary level. So I think that's where this film maybe succeeds a little more than, you know, than No Strings Attached did as well.
Yeah, I thought that, so there's a big difference between those two. I think No Strings Attached was more telly. So all of the information was kind of given through dialogue.
Right.
And Friends with Benefits kind of showed you, because there were these two had really big hang-ups about relationships, and you don't really know why at first, but then they start to show through Mila Kunis's mom and through Justin Timberlake's family why he has commitment issues, why he's a little afraid to get close to people, why the dynamic of the relationship is the way it is, and it's explained through circumstance and not through dialogue the way it was in No Strings Attached. And that's the signs of a good movie.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, just like for more background on the movie, basically the setup is, like Ronald said, Mia Kunis is like a headhunter in New York City. She basically is trying to get Justin Timberlake, who's a very successful, I think he starts out with like an online blog, and, you know, an ad director for an online blog, and she's trying to basically court him for a job at GQ up in New York City. And, you know, getting him to come out to the East Coast and basically become a part of the New York culture. And, you know, when he does, she becomes one of the sole people that he has as a friend in the city. And they become closer as friends. And that's how the whole Friends with Benefits thing develops one night when they're at a party together. And they just have this conversation, you know, about whether or not, you know, they're going to go forth with this Friends with Benefits idea without any kind of emotional attachment.
You swear you don't want anything more from me other than sex?
You swear you don't want anything more from me?
Know how you girls get. Tick, tock, tick, tock.
Stop it.
What are you doing?
I'm pulling up my Bible app.
You have a Bible app?
Yes, I am a good girl. And on the iPad.
Okay.
Wait, no.
God, why can't they figure this out?
Hold on. There we go.
Huh.
No relationship, no emotions, just sex.
Whatever happens, we stay friends.
Swear.
Swear.
Swear. Let's go to the bedroom.
What's wrong with the couch? It's less emotional.
The bedroom has better light. And since we're just friends, I don't have to be insecure about my body.
Come on, you're beautiful. You have nothing to
That sounds emotionally supportive. Lock that down.
Your ass is a little bony.
Much better.
And as you can see in the clip we just played, that scene where they use the Bible, you know, to kind of promise that they're going to, you know, not let this go any further than a physical thing is actually one of the funnier scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
Because first off, she's using an iPad that she can't.
Plan, yeah.
She has a Bible app on her iPad that she can't seem to get the screen orientation to set properly, which kind of is really fun.
It's a cool use of technology given the time that they were in. And stuff like that kind of sticks with you. Which was why this movie was so much better than No Strings Attached. Also, like I said with the showy thing, it's really cool that it was as adult as it was, and it was very dignified in the same breath. Like, it's a lot of raunchy stuff. It also taught me that oral sex is cool.
Oh, it's very
There's a lot
cool.
of oral sex in this movie.
People like oral sex. A
lot of dome. A lot of sloppy top.
It seems to be pretty popular these days.
It was.
You know, 20, 30 years ago, maybe not so much, but now, absolutely.
Oral sex is
You better popular. Be comfortable with it.
You better be.
Because it's in movies, it's on TV shows, you hear it on the radio even, I mean, whatever, just get used to it. But there's some really funny scenes in the film, like, I actually remember specifically, like, the first time that they hook up in the movie together,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're basically, like, you know, they're in bed and they're giving each other pointers on how they like it.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, Justin Timberlake's Mr. Confident and, you know, yeah. I know what I'm doing. And she kind of shows him how to really do it. And then when she returns the favor, he's trying to, like, point her in the right direction. And she's like, oh, I got this. And he basically, you know, experiences something that he obviously has no idea how to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
But that scene is actually, you know, one of the funnier scenes that had the audience going.
Definitely.
I think maybe to talk about some of the characters in the movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I wanted to talk about, you mentioned it a little bit when you talked about the comparison between this and No Strings Attached. But I think, like, some of the supporting characters in this film, I think were handled really well. And you mentioned You know, like Andy Samberg, Emma Stone. They're actually in the movie not a whole lot. They're like the little fun characters that are in there, like to show Justin's and Mia's like previous relationships right at the beginning of the film. But I'm more so speaking about like Woody Harrelson, Richard Jenkins, Jenna Elfman.
Oh, I'm in love with Jenna Elfman.
Jenna Elfman looked amazing. I haven't seen her on the screen in forever. And I remember, like, the movie Can't Hardly Wait, and she was the angel in that movie, which Can't Hardly Wait is probably one of my top 10 movies of all time.
Okay.
But it was great to see her on the screen in, like, a semi-serious role, and she looked incredible, and her character was awesome. Like, I think she killed it. Richard Jenkins plays Justin Timberlake's dad in the film, which is, like, you know, Rana was saying, you get some of the backstory and why he has some issues with commitment and emotions just because his dad is, you know, I guess suffering from onset, you know, Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And going through that as a family is really challenging. And you see some of the scenes with that, with Richard Jenkins, even on the screen a little bit, you see why he is one of the best actors out there.
He's,
like,
he's really
so underrated and so unsung. I know that a few years ago he got a lot of recognition for The Visitor, and I think that was an incredible movie. But even in a movie like where he's in it for literally maybe on the screen for not even 10 minutes, you really get a lot from him.
You do.
He's really effective.
You get why he was chosen, definitely. Yeah. Another cool character was Jenna Elfman's character, Annie, her son, Sam,
who was a
little magician that failed miserably almost every time he tried something. He added to the heart of the film, his relationship between Dylan, Justin Timberlake's character, and himself. It was really pretty good. That kid's actually from
Modern Family,
which is one of the funniest shows on air right now.
Plays Luke in Modern Family.
Modern Family.
Yeah, he's cute. There's a lot of comic relief in the movie that's like that situational stuff that you need, just like that quick injection of just pure funniness.
Yeah.
And also, just not to leave him out, Woody Harrelson, I thought, was hilarious in this movie.
Yeah, definitely.
He plays the sports columnist at GQ that Justin works with. Openly gay, very flamboyant.
Oh, yeah.
Had Super a couple funny. Really funny scenes with Justin Timberlake. And a really serious scene, too, where he's talking to him about, like, you know, the right kind of girl that you should really be looking for. And not the one that you're going to be ending up with on a Friday night, but the one that you're going to spend Saturday with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, these are all characters that were used really, really effectively in minor ways. And I think a lot of that gets attributed to the director. Not really a well-known director, but Will Gluck.
Mm-hmm.
A year or two ago, he had a really successful film come out called Easy A.
I loved Easy A.
Easy A is awesome. Emma Stone's in it. Patricia Clarkson's in it, who is also in this film as Mia Kunis' mother.
Yeah.
Another, you know, fun character. I didn't love her character in this film.
Me either.
But Patricia is, you know, fun to look at on screen. She's got a lot of, you know, just like charisma. But Easy A, great movie, underrated, ended up being really successful at the box office and with critics, with audiences across the country. And I think he kind of used the same kind of formula that he had in that film and has made a similar film, just on a raunchier level,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a little more skewed towards, you know, I guess the 20-30, you know, yuppie definitely. Kind of crowd. But
absolutely.
Kudos go out to the director for a well-done job on this film, you know, using some of the things that worked positively with Easy A.
Come on.
Oh, you're showing me Times Square. This is not touristy at all.
Oh, would you shush? Come on.
So everybody just kind of walks wherever they want, then.
How about right here?
What do you mean?
We're here.
Oh, my God, it's 1988.
You're a smartass. Give it 5 seconds.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
I love you, NY. City of lights, city of dreams, city of sound, city of kings. You can feel the light flow through these streets. One sound they feed.
What is this?
It's a flag shop.
Do these people get paid for this?
No, they kind of just do it for fun. It's nice to feel like you're a part of something. New York can be a little bit lonely at times.
And you're trying to sell me on it.
Lonely sometimes.
New York, New York. It's up to you.
I'm in.
What?
You sold me.
Really?
I'll take the job.
Oh my God!
What, are you surprised?
Well, no! No! Oh, you are gonna crush it! Amazing! You can all go home now. Thank you.
Very funny.
Come on.
So one of the things that we didn't mention was one of the biggest characters in the movie, which was New York. A big part of the story that kind of drives Dylan's character to come to New York is the culture surrounding it. And Mila Kunis's character kind of introducing him to all this amazing, all these amazing things that kind of were staples of New York that he wasn't really used to. The pace of New York was very different. The food's very different, in his opinion.
Yeah.
Flash mobs, little things like that, attributed to why not only their relationship got stronger, but why he moved to New York.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before with the other podcast for Troll Hunter. Very different movie, but you some movies really, really do a good job of, like, showcasing the actual background scenery.
Definitely.
You know, it's not a character that has any dialogue or any kind of, like, big action in the film, but you do, in every scene of the film, see something about New York that, one, you know, I guess drew her to New York to begin with, to be the headhunter, and she's really embraced the city. And also, when he comes over for the first time and is kind of taking it all in when she's showing him around the city, mm-hmm. it is kind of like a culture shock to him. And he says things out loud, like, you know, nobody watches it where they're walking. It's so humid here, where on the West Coast it's just heat, no humidity, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, that is New York. You know, you go, you see scenes of, I think maybe around the park, you know, Times Square, building tops, you know, just the skyline across New York City, you know, the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, she walks him around the whole area, and you see a really cool little mini tour of probably one of the most famous cities in the world. And the movie really, really highlights it nicely, and it is kind of like a supporting character for their relationship, both as it starts as kind of like a very minimal thing, and then also as it grows into, you know, something that begins to, you know, kind of set up the second and third act of the film, which is where it kind of becomes like a real thing that, you know, they're both interested in. And you have this back and forth about whether, you know, oh, well, you care about me. Well, I only was in this for the sex. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
There's a little bit of miscommunication, misunderstandings, and, you know, all good stories, you know, have a nice little ending. But
of course,
I think they did a really nice job with that. And I think another thing, like, not relating to the city, but I'm just, like, thinking now about some of the scenes when Justin Timberlake goes back to the West Coast to see his family.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really cool how they separate that from the rest of the film, because when they go over there to see his family, he ends up taking Mia with him. I think it's, like, a 4th of July trip or something like that that she ended up not having any plans for. And not only does she get to meet his family, but she also gets a little more insight into him as, like, this person who's a little more vulnerable than he may lead on.
Oh, yeah.
In definitely. Terms of, like, his insecurities. And Jenna Elfman has a really fun scene with her where, like, she's telling Mila Kunis about how Justin used to have a stutter when he was a kid and how he's never been able to do math successfully.
Definitely.
And had a phase where he was obsessed with Criss Cross and their big hit Jump.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is that, like, when that follows up in the film, there are follow-up pieces for that where we see Justin, like, relapse into pieces where he starts stuttering when they are sitting on the Hollywood sign and he's like, and he can't get down because he's scared of heights.
Yeah.
And he's trying to do the math of how far something is away.
Yeah.
And, like, he completely destroys the math.
Yeah.
And, you know, scene. A scene when he's dancing with her in the bedroom, like, singing Jump and everything. Like, it's just really fun.
It's really good.
Not just a funny movie, but yeah. Some of the scenes, like, you can just sense that they had fun making the movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, weaving in the movie also was this romantic comedy that Mila Kunis loves, starring Jason Segel
and Rashida Jones.
So, what this also does is kind of pokes fun at the genre that it is already.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is really cool, and it's done really well.
Yeah, it's like the cheesy cheese romantic comedies that you see out there, which is kind of like what No Strings Attached was.
It was.
And it's almost like you think, are they, like, taking a shot at No Strings Attached, maybe? Because there was a lot of, like, legal battle, I think, last year between, like, Sony and Screen Gems, who distributed Friends with Benefits, and Paramount, who distributed No Strings Attached, because at the time, I believe Ivan Reitman, who directed No Strings Attached, had a working title called Friends with Benefits.
Oh, no.
So they tried to stop production on this film, and eventually he ended up changing his movie's title to No Strings Attached, and, you know, Screen Gems was able to move on with their production of this film. But it's kind of funny, like, you know, that these films are so closely related, but that in this one, which is by far the better of the two,
oh, yeah.
There's this little fun little ongoing joke in the background about this cheesy romantic comedy with these two actors.
Definitely.
And I couldn't help but think in the movie that it may have been a little bit of a stab at No Strings Attached.
Maybe, definitely.
Let's also talk about how I think it's funny that, like, Natalie Portman and Mia Kunis, you know, the whole Black Swan and,
oh, yeah,
you know, all that success of that movie. And Mia got a lot of acknowledgement for her supporting role, but Natalie, like, basically was, you know, they gave her the world on a spoon, you know.
They did.
She was great in the movie, but I thought Mia was really good, too. And
I think she was, too.
I think she gets her just desserts with this film because it completely... I mean, she's much better suited for a role like this than Natalie Portman. I mean, I just didn't buy Natalie Portman in that film at all.
Natalie Portman was kind of stiff.
Yeah, Mia Kunis, like... I think it benefits her that she came from a show like that 70s show.
Oh, yeah.
That situational comedy and just being able to just roll with the punches and just kind of be like a almost one of the guys in some scenes in the movie. And I think it really benefits this film. And, you know, I don't know. I just think that she was really, really fun in this movie.
She was.
She's definitely like a girl that you'd want to get to hang out with.
Absolutely.
Not because she's so hot, but she was just super cool to begin with.
And I was very surprised at the chemistry between Justin Timberlake and her. So it was a good movie.
Yeah, and I mean, if you see any of the marketing that's been going on for the film, they've been doing all kinds of fun stuff for the movie, like, you know, on YouTube and Facebook and, like, that one soldier who submitted a... did you hear about this?
Like
a soldier over in Iraq, I think, like, submitted a request for Mia to attend, like the Marine Corps ball with him or something like that. And, like, through the Facebook page for the film and through Justin Timberlake's, you know, coercion, like, she actually accepted the invitation.
What?
And is going to be going with this guy to, like, a Marine Corps ball. I don't know when that happened, or it may have already happened by this point, but... That's the thing, like, this movie is just fun. I feel like if you just go into it, just looking to have a good time for an hour and 40 minutes or whatever it is that. It's a very, very, you know, light, romantic comedy. Less of a chick flick than you might think. I mean, these are two guys that both really liked it. And everybody in the theater that we saw it with was really into it. And it was evenly cut down the middle, guys and girls. Great date movie. Even if you just want to go see a raunchy, fun film, it's on there too.
This is a movie to see.
Was there anything else you want to throw in about this? I think we both recommend it.
Yeah, we both recommend it. It's a good movie. That's really nothing else, man.
Okay, cool.
See that movie.
So, yeah, Friends with Benefits, out in theaters now. Justin Timberlake, Mia Kunis, directed by Will Gluck, who did Easy A. If you're a fan of that film or either of those actors, definitely recommend it to go see it. Even if you like No Strings Attached, you'll actually go see this and realize that you like this and didn't like the other one. So, you'll feel better about this once you see it. But moving on to the DVD quick picks for this podcast.
DVD
quick picks. I'll let you go first.
Cool. So I chose to do Love and Other Drugs, which involves one of my favorite actors, Jake Gyllenhaal, in a movie that takes place around, 1999 or so?
What about when Viagra came out?
When Viagra came out. Yeah. It's based on the nonfiction book, Hard Sell, The Evolution of a Viagra Salesman.
Yeah, yeah.
So it basically takes place during the time where this gentleman is not doing very well for himself, selling medicines and things like that. So he decides to get involved with this company that has this new drug that may change the sex industry as we know it. So what he realizes is that he can use his sex appeal to kind of sell these drugs. Along the way, he meets Anne Hathaway's character and kind of has this no strings attached sexual relationship with her that kind of develops into something much deeper. And her hesitation to kind of get into a serious relationship is attributed to a disease that she has. So it kind of follows the sort of Friends with Benefits format. But it gets a lot deeper. It's a lot more drama-filled. But I definitely suggest Love and Other Drugs.
Yeah. Cool. Cool, yeah. I saw the film, too, just throw my thoughts onto it. I wasn't as big of a fan of it as you were, but I did like the movie. I thought it kind of went on a little too long at pieces. I do really, really like Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway. I liked them both when they were in Brokeback Mountain together.
Oh, yeah.
I pretty much like most stuff that Jake has put out, even fun movies like Bubble Boy. Yeah, let's talk about Bubble Boy later.
Oh, Bubble Boy.
$500! But yeah, so Love and Other Drugs, I definitely give it a thumbs up as well. My DVD quick pick this week is going to be Alpha Dog. And the reason I basically picked it is because of Justin Timberlake being in it.
Yeah.
Over the years, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, I was a big fan of the whole boy band phase back, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When I was younger, you know, I was very enamored by his performance. He's an entertainer, you know. Like, I bought into that a long time ago, but it wasn't until I saw him in Alpha Dog that I really kind of saw actual like opportunity for him to be more than just that pop icon that he is.
Oh yeah.
Alpha Dog, a very serious, dark film based on true events, came out in 2007 from Nick Cassavetes, really cool filmmaker. Really big cast, Emile Hirsch, Justin Timberlake, Dominique Swain, God, Bruce Willis, Sean Hattissey, who's a Baltimore boy.
I keep forgetting that Bruce Willis was in
where that. We're actually talking from right now. Sean Hattissey is born in Maryland. Olivia Wilde is in it. I think she's so gorgeous right now. Her whole life she's been a gorgeous Sharon Stone, Ben Foster, Anton Yelchin, Amanda Seyfried. I mean, just a massive cast of awesome, awesome talent.
Definitely.
That in since this movie and even to today and beyond are probably going to be some of the more successful actors of this generation. But like I said, just a based on a true events, given fictional names film came out a few years ago. Very dark film.
Kind of the tone of Larry Clark's Bully.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like
it does. It has a darker tone to it, but just really great performances all around. It's on DVD. I'm not sure if it's on Netflix or not, but if you're listening to this and you have Netflix, you're probably as angry as most people are out there that you may have to pay to get it mailed to you addition to the online subscription.
$10 more.
We were just talking about this, and it's funny that I'm now mentioning it about Netflix. But Alpha Dog, good stuff. Very, very West Coast skater, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Orange County kind of vibe to it, which I like movies that have that whole tone, and the way the film physically looks too kind of matches the whole culture. It almost in ways sometimes, like the physical look of it reminds me of like Lords of Dogtown. Have you ever seen
that? Oh yeah, definitely.
I love that West Coast like kind of skater mentality. Not that these guys are all into that, but it just gives me that vibe. But I would definitely recommend checking out Alpha Dog. Like I said, Justin Timberlake actually got a lot of recognition for his minimal role in the movie, but he is pretty powerful in it, and I think it kind of marked the point where he kind of turned the corner and said, hey, I can also be in real, you know, mainstream films and not just, like, these pop things that I do.
He's been on a serious music hiatus, by the way.
Pissing you off?
Man, I love
pissing me off.
I love his solo stuff, man.
Yeah, I heard he's recording again, so maybe it'll be here sooner than later, you know? I don't know what movies he has in the pipeline right now, but I know that, you know, he's been pretty busy trying to get I think he really is trying to like forge a path in becoming a more serious actor. I mean, I know he had Bad Teacher out a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
This film, and I know he also has a movie coming out later this year, I think called In Time. I think it's like a sci-fi film.
Cool.
But I mean, legit guy. I think he's a consummate entertainer, and I hope he finds a lot of success in, you know, the movie world too, because I think he's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
But I think that's going to wrap it up. I mean, we talked about a lot today. Friends with Benefits, again, if you are looking for a fun rated R romantic comedy to go with to the lady friend, the guy friend, or just any friend, it's in theaters now. Hit us up, movieshmovie.net, facebook.com/movieshmovie. We're looking for more entries for, you know, the next episode for the Mighty Minute Review. So if you have any movies that you want us to talk about, feel free to send them our way.
Yep. Thanks, Pedro, by the way.
Thanks, Pedro. Man, we have to hang out sometime.
Thanks, senor.
Yeah, senor.
That just made it offensive. I don't know.
Yeah, you had to do that. We were okay with it. I was fighting the urge, and you just went with it. Last thing really quick is that the idea behind this podcast is that people will listen to this podcast. Like, we have a website. We have all these things that we throw news up on and our thoughts on certain things. But this podcast is kind of like our structure. It's our foundation. And it exists in a couple different ways, through iTunes, through Mixcloud.
Mm-hmm.
We may even get into more beyond that once we get more of a foundation.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, really, it's important if you're listening to this, you know, we not only know that we appreciate you listening, but also to tell people about it. You know, if you can suggest the podcast to friends through iTunes, through Mixcloud, you know, just send a link out on your Facebook or something just to listen to this, because the more people listen to it, the more relevant it'll pop up in searches if people are looking for movie podcasts on iTunes or on Google. It's all based on you. So if you like what you're hearing, please do what you can to help us spread it, because we can only do so much, you know. It really relies on the word of mouth of everybody listening.
Definitely. Tell people, but damn it. It's important. It's important, particularly because, like he said, it heavily relies on word of mouth. And if you like it so much, like you guys tell us, fucking tell somebody.
Thank you. It's not that hard.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if you do listen to it on iTunes, rate it. If you rate it, it actually also affects like how we get listed and you know the relevance and stuff like that. A lot of people are typing in movie reviews, but we just don't have a lot of relevance yet because we're so new. So the more ratings we can get, the more listenings we can get, the more chance that when you know Joe Smith types in movie reviews, we may actually pop up, and that will be only because you helped us do that. So. That would be much appreciated. So, definitely. Do you have anything else to add?
I love you, guys.
That goes without saying, too, though, right? Love you too, man. Love you too, dude. So, yeah, this is the Movie Schmovie. This is Steve and...
Ronald.
That's Ronald, who just said Ronald.
Ronald.
And I'm Steve. But, yeah, thanks so much for listening, guys. And once again, you've made our day.
Cool. Peace.